Title of the message today is Your Light. Shine or wine? Shine or wine? Your choice. Your choice. My choice. We got a long text here to read together, but if you can see it, please, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Let's begin. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Father, we do ask that you would speak to all of us through your inspired word today. Through the light of reason, we thank you, Father, for the inspiration of the scriptures and that you have preserved them. Now give us what we need today, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You know, church, it's important that we finish. It's important that we shine. And as he said, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, it's important that you do not waste the time of those who have invested in you. Part of your testimony is staying away from murmuring, especially against God, providence. Murmuring of the disputings, the carnal disputings of selfishness. That we may be blameless. Not that you automatically will be, but that you may be blameless. You got to stay away from murmurings, disputings, things like that. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. You are eternal children of God. If you're saved, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you are to go on as a disciple to become kingdom, millennial sons of God. That is to be chosen to reign as faithful, which is one of the purposes of the gospel, not just eternity through grace, but that you have grace in you, Christ in you, through your works and walk, that you might reign with the Lord in the time of reward that's coming. So notice now, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, that's the whole world really, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So you are called to shine as lights. And then he says, holding forth the word of life. I want you to notice something. He didn't say holding the word of life. You need to do that. Don't let it go. But don't just keep it. One of the ways to keep it and hold it is to hold it forth. Holding forth is different than holding. Holding forth is different than holding back. And there's a lot of believers that have light, have truth, but they hold it back. They hold it back from a perverse generation. They hold it back from a blind, dark world. They hold it back from backslidden Christians. They hold it back. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. He's not going to hold it. Not hold it back. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. No, not till the time of rest. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. There's going to be a time when the Lord Jesus comes, establishes his kingdom, and righteousness will go forth throughout the world. But right now, you are called in your life to have righteousness shine forth. as a witness to this world. You must hold it forth. He says in Matthew 13, the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. They're going to have glorified bodies. They're going to be rewarded for all they have done. What are they going to be rewarded for? Well, they're going to shine forth in glory because they were obedient in this life to shine forth their light, the light of the Lord Jesus that He gave them, the truth that He has given them. They shine it forth before a backslidden world, before an adulterous generation. And they're rewarded for this. Who hath ears? If you have it, use it. If you have ears, use them. Don't hold your peace. Don't hold it in. Don't bury it. Hold it forth. I wonder how many people grew up in a Christian home and they have truth. They believe truth. They're just not holding it forth. See? A lot of homeschool generation children grow up and they don't even hold the truth. I wonder, in fact, I'm pretty convinced, that the reason they don't hold it, when the temptation and the world is offering, the devil's whispering to them, the reason they don't hold it anymore is they were never holding it forth. So you can come in and sit in church because your parents make you come. You can go through the motions of your Christianity. But are you holding forth the truth? When it's time for you to be an Esther and speak up, when it's time for you to stand, are you quiet? When your cousins, when you see your cousins, when you see your uncles, when you see your nephew, I don't know who, what relatives you have that aren't shining the light that they're supposed to, but I'm telling you this. There comes a time when you ought to be a witness, but you get ashamed of it. And if you keep being ashamed of it, you're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be ashamed in this life. Because I'd like to say that the Holy Spirit, He can get grieved. And there's a way when you can offend the Holy Ghost. And you're saved. I believe in eternal security. I believe in salvation by grace through faith alone. You cannot lose your eternal salvation. But that does not mean that you're going to have fullness of joy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Read the epistle to 1 John. So let's not hold our peace. Let's not hold in our light. Let's not hold in the truth. Share it. Show it. You believe how some people come to church and they'll show a little bit of their standards. But boy, they get out here among their relatives. They get out here among Walmart. I tell you what, they get out here among this world where the world's looking and there's no light. There's no standards. First Peter 2 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth, there's our word, the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. How can you praise the Lord Jesus and hide His standards? How can you praise and show forth that you're praising God when you're causing Him pain, or shall we say grief? So the question is, how do you shine, Church of God? How do you shine? What does that mean? Barnes sometimes has some good things to say. In the 1800s, not always, but he says, number one, this is how you shine. They are to do it by example. Okay, you ought to be a good example to everybody that's watching. Number two, there's almost no one who cannot contribute something, talking about financially. You ought to be making money, and you ought to be putting your money in the gospel. You ought to be putting your money in a godly local church. You ought to be supporting the church, supporting the ministries, using your money to shine. by conversation. That is, who you talk to, your words. By defending the divine origin of religion when attacked. I like that. You ought to defend the truth when it's attacked. You ought to stand up for God and for His truth and for His standards, for His commandments. You ought to stand up for these things. You ought to open your voice, open your mouth. And number five, by rebuking sin and thus testifying to the value of holiness. Is holiness cheap? Is holiness something we just throw away? Or does it still matter today? God's commandments in 1950, do they still apply today? I believe they do. God's commandments in the first century, do they still apply today? I believe they do. When it gets dark outside, you start feeling like Noah. You're not like Noah. There's plenty of Christians all over the world that are shining their light. But sometimes it can feel like you're just Noah with your family. At least Noah got his biological family right there, the nuclear family. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't see any cousins get in the ark. I didn't see any uncles or nephews. I didn't see any aunts. I didn't see no grandmamas. What happened? There were thousands and thousands and thousands of people in that world. So don't you puff yourself up and say, oh, you think you're the only one with the truth. You better watch out. It's starting to be a time in this world where there's going to be few. There's going to be few. Do you see it in the Bible? If God said it in the Bible, it's true. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what every believer says. If it says it in the Bible, it's true. If God says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. Let me show you something else for you as young people. Psalms 127, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Did you know you're meant to be a weapon? You as a child are meant to be a weapon. You're meant to be raised in a godly, fundamental, homeschool generation. And you're to go forth. You're to go forth as a weapon. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. What shall they do? Well, they're arrows. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This says they, it says children, that's male and female. They shall not be ashamed. That's God's purpose for you. If you've got a strong father in the Lord, that's God's purpose for you. You are not to be ashamed. You are a weapon, but you shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The enemies of your father, your earthly father, who are obviously running their mouth and slandering and rebuking and doing everything they can to oppose whatever he stands for. But by extension, obviously your heavenly father. What is the gate? The gate's the place of the court. The gate's the place of testimony. The gate is the place of defense. The gate is the public place of discourse. So you got to do your part. The Father needs to do His part. You got to do your part. Do you have no loyalty to all that He's invested? Are you really going to sit here and be raised and trained in discipleship and warfare? I hope you're being trained in it. I'm doing everything I can. You're really going to become where you can start making a decision in this dark world? And you're just going to throw it all away? Bring grief to your parents, to your pastor? Discourage one another? You need each other. We need to stick together in this day and age. But God forbid, when you raise an arrow up, and it comes time for that arrow to sail and start being a defense, and a weapon, and God forbid, that thing's just a broken arrow. It misses its mark. It barely even flies. If your parents raised you like that, shame on them. If you just took everything your parents taught you and threw it away as garbage, shame on you! It's a common saying, I hear it all the time, that you don't defend the truth. Usually that's said by people that don't do any defense at all, and they're looking for an excuse. They're looking for an excuse to be quiet in the gate. Now, there is a sense in which It is true. We just let the Scriptures speak for themselves. But you do have to reason. You do have to teach. You do have to give the sense of the Scriptures. You do have to rightly divide and show and teach. Paul disputed daily in the markets and in the synagogues. Don't you tell me you don't have to give a defense of the truth. I believe, as I said, often that statement that, well, you don't defend God, you don't defend the truth, you don't defend the Bible, you know, I believe that's a sign of weakness and passivity and laziness, and it's a nice little saying that makes you feel better about the fact that your mouth is closed in the gate. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Pay attention now. We are called to defend His truth. But one thing is true is God certainly defends us. Plenty of scriptures about the fact that God defends us. He is our defense. But we ought to stand up for Him. We ought to stand up for His name. We ought to stand up for His truth. If He's mischaracterized, we ought to stand up and correct it. Wow, if your parents, if your pastor, if a brother or sister in this church are mischaracterized, you ought to stand up and open your mouth. You keep your mouth quiet. You're a sissy. You're a coward. You're a traitor. How much more for God Himself? Say, I'm not going to defend God. You can blaspheme Him, say whatever you want about Him, and I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. God forbid. Say, well, this Bible doesn't teach that. Oh, yes, it does. Somebody lies about what this Bible teaches. You're not going to defend the Bible? Somebody says, this Bible teaches homosexuality. You say, well, I'm not going to defend the truth. Well, you're the problem. You're the problem. That whole mindset is the problem and has always been the problem. Let's see if we defend the truth. Philippians 1, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, he's in jail, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. He says, thank you, Philippians. You're with me in my bonds. They sent him gifts while he's in jail. Everybody else is too afraid to even associate with him. Everybody else is hiding. But he says, thank you for fellowshipping with me to the degree you can while I'm in jail. And thank you for fellowshipping with me, partnering with me in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul says in Philippians 1, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Are you set for it? He says, I'm not budging. Salvation by grace through faith alone, you better believe it. I'm going to stand for the full gospel. I'm going to stand for the part of the gospel that's to believers, and that is that God has a kingdom coming of reward. You have salvation by grace through faith alone, but there is a kingdom of reward that's coming, and I hope you will be part of it. So let's see what we can do, children, Church of God, to not just hold the truth, but to hold it what? Hold it forth. Thank you. Let's see what we can do to speak to the enemies in the gate. Let's see what we can do to defend God's truth. Defend God's truth. I am set for the defense of the gospel. Don't you tell me you have nothing to defend in the Word of God, the character of God, the truths of God. Where did that come from? I know where it came from. It come from backslidden, carnal people that don't want to do anything. And they need a nice little saying that'll make them feel better when they're quiet. The Bible says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, contend with them. Contend with them about what? About the truth, about the gospel, about righteousness, about holiness. Paul says, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I hope you're set for it with him. The Bible says in Jude, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. You say, oh, you don't have to contend for the faith. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. Contend for the faith, do it earnestly, which was once delivered unto the saints. Don't you let it be changed. Don't you let that body of teaching be changed. Don't you let salvation by grace through faith alone be changed? Don't you let the call to holiness and discipleship to every believer be changed? Don't you let any of these things be changed? Don't let the commandments be changed. I tell you what, you've got a world out here. You just listen to the music. I sometimes sit, when I hear this Christian music, this modern stuff, I sometimes just listen to the lyric. Because basically your eyes start rolling back in your head, you know. It's just the same thing, repetitive over and over and over and over. But I'm like, what really are they saying? They're saying basically you don't need holiness. You don't need to change. You can commit abominations. You can do whatever you want, but we're still going to have fellowship with God. That's not true. That's a lie. That is a lie. Why don't you ever talk? You don't hear anything about standards, commandment. You can't make money that way. Every time you list a commandment in a modern lyric, you just alienated a lot and made mad a lot of the people that are buying your album. You understand? Christian music, the industry, the love of money, they are not going to allow you to isolate and alienate the crowd. See? And the second you try to say, this is what you ought to do, and you sing a song about it, you're not going to be on Christian radio, probably. Listen to me now. It says in Ephesians 5, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Defend God's word. Contend against those that are liars. Contend against the false teachers. Contend against the carnal. Reprove these unfruitful works of darkness. You're to witness in all the ways that God has called us. We've seen from the Barnes quote, you're to witness by your life and example. But not this, just not only just by your example, that's also a cop-out. In the 1950s, a movement called New Evangelicalism came upon the scene. A little bit before that, actually. And it was funded by the New World Order rich people around the world. I'll prove that and have proven it at other times. They set up this movement of evangelicalism, New Evangelicalism. And the idea was to get rid of the old fundamentalism that's divisive and you can't create a world church with, see. You need something softer that you can create a world church so you can mix the Jew, the Catholic, the Christian, and the Mormon, and everybody together in a world church, see. So what happened is, this new evangelicalism, how are you going to silence the fundamentalists? How are you going to silence fundamental Christianity? Well, they came up with this idea of lifestyle evangelism. Well, every fundamentalist believes you ought to, if you speak with your word and don't back it up with your life, that's hypocrisy. Nobody wants to be a hypocrite. Nobody ever endorsed that. You need to have a life of good works and show people by your example. But they said, you know what, let's just use our example. And listen, I'm not saying that there's not a time every now and then to be quiet and show by example, but this became a movement where we're not going to verbally witness. We're just going to hope. So we would see these people all the way up to the 1990s, 2000s. You would see them, hey, shh, I'm going to the bar with this fella. Lifestyle evangelism, you know. No, I'm not going to preach or witness. I'm showing him by my life. You're showing him by your life on the way to the bar? What are you showing him other than that you're a backslider too? I mean, you're associating in ways that you should not be doing so. So this is a way of the devil trying to get you to compromise. So there is no verbal witness. You're to witness by your life and example. You're to witness by your verbal witness. And you're to witness by participating and supporting the local church, aiding pastors and missionaries, etc. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7, wisdom is a defense. So spread the news, amen? Let's be wise and go spread the wisdom of God everywhere by our example, by our life. But it also says money is a defense. Let's take our money and spread the wisdom of God. Let's defend the truth. And God forbid, you've got Christians all over this country that know the truth. They basically say that they support the truth, but what they mean is they agree with it. But when it comes to funding the truth, they're not there. They're not there at all. What would happen if Christians that believe the truth and have come in contact with it and agree with it began to fund it? Wow, what would happen? But no, I'm going to tell you, God's going to judge you on the degree that you have fulfilled the purpose, one of the purposes for Him giving you the truth to begin with and giving you the opportunity and putting money in your hands and putting time in your hands. He is going to judge you on the whole package, and He's going to say, you know, one of the purposes, one of the main purposes for me enlightening you and giving you the truth, one of the main purposes was for you to go out and do likewise. For you to go out and do likewise. And so now you're going to be judged on the degree that you are supporting the truth. That you are shining it forth. Shining it forth with your lifestyle. Shining it forth with your words. Shining it forth with your money. Shining it forth with your service. Shining it forth with your support of the local church. That all is going to be judged by God. Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. God says, get up on that hill. Get up on that hill. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That was a measurement. Just think of it as a box or a bucket, some type of measurement. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So God's saying, do you think I gave you light for you to hide the light, to stick it under a bed somewhere, to do something with? Do you think I gave you light for it to just not shine to anybody? He says in Mark 4, and He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? What is God saying? He's saying, get your church, get your family, get yourself where you are showing what you believe, where you are shining forth God's commandments, God's truth. You quit being silent. You quit being hidden. There's a separation that we have to do if we're to stay holy and obey God. But don't confuse separation and touch not. Don't confuse that with the responsibility to witness and to shine forth. You can do both. You can do both. Let's give some illustrations to this now. Having seen the main purposes for our reception of light, let's speak more about the accountability aspect of these things, okay? Let's speak about our accountability. That is, God's going to hold you accountable for these things. God's going to say, you know what? I gave you truth. I gave you the understanding. I gave you money. I gave you all of these things. What did you do with it? 2 Kings says, let's see, where am I at? And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? That's a good question. We ought to ask ourselves that. I don't mean geographically, unless you need to move to find a good church. But sitting, doing nothing. Why don't we ask ourselves this? Why sit we here until we die in our Christianity? I mean, sitting and doing nothing, brother. Sitting and keeping your mouth shut. Sitting and not defending the truth and defending godly people. Eli in the Bible was a heavy man. He sat on a seat. He only mildly reproved his wicked sons. But it wasn't enough. He got in trouble for it. Lot also sat in the gate. He was vexed. But he didn't do too much, did he? He was too entangled in Sodom. He just sat. You pitch your tent near Sodom. Soon you end up living in it. Soon you're sitting in the gate doing nothing. Oh, you could say, I'm vexed. But what are you doing? You're just sitting there. That's what I'm talking about. So these lepers, they said, why are we just sit here doing nothing until we die? And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. What happened? See, they're in a famine right now. People are dying for food. But now, in Syria, the camp of the Syrians, no man was there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. So they just took off running. They left everything. They left their food. They left their treasures. They left everything. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And they came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Just imagine eating just the food, sumptuous feasting, tent after tent, just taking the treasure, taking everything. I wonder if we are in a world like that right now, in a situation like that. What's God trying to say to us? I wonder if we're just going tent to tent, just enjoying life, year after year. Boy, I hope I don't run out of tents. Hope I don't run out of food. I know there are some people doing this. If not in this church, there are some Christians living like this. They won't lift a finger to defend the truth. They won't lift a finger to support a church. Oh, they'll criticize. They'll open their mouth against a preacher. They'll open their mouth against the truth. They won't lift a finger. Listen to what they said. Then said they one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light," see, they were in the twilight, "some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Church of God, can you hear the Holy Ghost speaking to you? Can you hear the Holy Ghost ministering? If you've read the whole Bible, then you have to see the Holy Ghost having a message to you right here. This is not accidentally in the Bible. What's God telling you? Break it down. "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings." Is it not a day of good tidings that the Lord Jesus has brought the gospel to tell you that you're saved, that your sins may be forgiven, that you are saved by His grace, by His blood, through faith alone? Is that not good tidings? But you don't give it to anybody at the gas station. You don't give it to anybody. You don't support the gospel. And do we not have glad tidings that He's going to come in His kingdom and He's going to pluck out every evil thing and reign upon this world with a rod of iron and bring rest to this earth? Even the animals won't eat one another anymore. Isn't this a day of good tidings? The news of it, the fact that we have that proclamation, and we have that hope of reigning with the Lord Jesus, is that not, He's going to give us the grace and mercy to get in if we will obey Him? The kingdom of reward? That is good tidings. And we hold our peace. You're to hold it forth, but you're holding it in. If we tarry till the morning light, what does the Bible say the morning light is? It's the dawning of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, the rapture, the coming of our Lord Jesus, finally to dwell and reign upon this earth. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Is that not Holy Ghost inspired? If you wait till the second coming and say, "Well, when Jesus gets here and the angels and everything, boy, then I'll begin to talk about it. Then I'll begin to stand up. Boy, when Jesus comes, I'm going to stand up for the truth. I'm going to praise Him, lift up my..." The Lord's going to say, "Where were you?" David, when he finally got out of the woods in the wilderness, he came back into after his banishment, after all of his sufferings, after everybody scorning and mocking him and lying and all the enemies were opposing, he came back. And some of the things he said in the judgment seat of David was, "Where were you? Where were you when I was out in the woods? Where were you when this was happening?" That's what the Lord Jesus is going to say. Where were you? You should have took up for me. You should have took up for Paul. Some mischief will come upon us. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the judgment seat of Christ, you'll receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. "Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Woo, amen to that. What's the king's household, you know? That's the local church. That's the believers, the family of God, the household of God, household of faith. What do you got to tell them? You got to tell them, we got to get moving. You got to tell them the good news. You got to tell them about the coming kingdom. You got to tell them about the judgment seat of Christ. You got to tell them about the Lord's commandments. God has good things for us, treasures. You just need to incline your ears. Psalm 78, incline your ears to the words of my mouth, says the Lord. Let's speak to the king's household. Let's get moving. Speaking of accountability, some mischief will follow. Some type of mischief will come upon us. It says in Ezekiel 3, if you wait till the second coming, some mischief is going to come upon you. It says in Ezekiel, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, he says it in the Bible. And thou givest him not warning, that is, go tell them what the Bible says, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. How can you say you're full of love and you're loving and you won't even save them to save their life? The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. He shall die because he's a sinner walking in sin, but his blood I will require at thy hand. What does that mean? It means he's going to hold you responsible for his death in a secondary sense, in a secondary sense. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, you're not responsible, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Thou hast delivered thy soul. There's accountability. God gave you light. He gave you truth. He wants you to warn the wicked. He gave you light. He gave you truth. He wants you to spread the gospel. He wants you to hold forth God's truth, the whole counsel of God, the faith, everything. Let's take another look at these principles of accountability. Listen to me, church. If you use what God has given you faithfully, He will increase your responsibility and you'll get a promotion. If you don't get it in this life, you'll certainly get it later. But usually you get it in this life too. What I mean is you take it in and start giving it out, God gives you more. Like, well, this is amazing. You start reading and studying, but you don't just keep it all in. You go give it out. You go give it out. God says, okay. Okay, you're being faithful with what I've given you. I'll give you more. I'll give you more. He increases your light. He increases your opportunities. And it works the other way as well. If you don't use your light and opportunity and your time and your resources, He then takes away some of what He's given you already. Bible says, our Lord Jesus, Matthew 13, for whosoever hath, what does it mean to have? It means to faithfully be using what He has given you. To have in a manner that is bringing forth fruit. To shine forth what God has given you. For whosoever hath, that is being faithful with what God has given him, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, is not being faithful with the light God's given him, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. You said, well, you know, I'm not a preacher, I'm not this, I'm not a missionary here, but you know what? You can be a missionary right here in your town. You can be a missionary to your relatives. You can be a missionary right here in church to one another, and exhorting and helping one another grow in the faith. Well, you got a lot of cousins, a lot of nephews, a lot of uncles, a lot of aunts. You got a lot of people in your family, and they need your light. It doesn't mean that you have to be nasty and mean and harsh. But you've got to speak the truth. You got to let them know that they got a warning from you in meekness. In meekness. But if you're sitting on it, if you're hiding it, using your time and resources only selfishly, God says He begins to blow on it. God says He begins to blow on it. He blows it away. He scatters it. Use it or lose it, says God. Shine or whine. In this life and certainly at the Lord's coming. Let me show you. Matthew 24, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What does it mean, so doing? It means faithfully shining the light. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. What happened? The Lord looked down. There's judgment. He looks at the believer and says that you're doing what's right. You're shining your light. You're being faithful. I'm going to give you a promotion. Enter into the kingdom. I'm going to make you ruler. I'm going to make you ruler. Matthew 24, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. My Lord delays his coming. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. You know, Cain hated Abel, didn't he? If somebody's not living right, they're not going to like you if you're living right. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You better shine, or you're going to whine, is what the Bible says. Shine or whine. Use it or lose it, says the Bible. Amen, brother? Amen. Matthew 25. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So we got 3 people here, 3 types of believers. 1 was given 5, he made another 5. 1 was given 2, he made another 2. 1 was just given 1, and he went and hid it. He went and hid it. Talent means money. Here it represents things. It's actually a stacked prophecy because in one sense, money's included in this. Your time, your money, everything. Everything, the whole ball of wax. But it refers primarily to your light, your opportunity that the Lord has given you. You got 2 believers that are investing. You got 2 believers that are investing in what they're doing. They're trying to make a return for God. But not this fella. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. He had the most of everybody. And the Lord says, that was just a few. You know, I didn't give you much. I didn't give you much to deal with. The Lord looks down at us and he says, you know what? I didn't give you much to do for me. You know, it's just a little season, a little while. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. No weeping there. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and says, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. In other words, he didn't use it. He had it, but didn't use it. He didn't shine forth. Oh, he held it, but he didn't hold it forth. See, he didn't hold it forth. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. He says, where's my interest? Where's my interest in my investment in you? What have you got to show me that you did after I put you in a Christian family or I had somebody witness to you? Whatever the point is in your life, to whatever grace you've received, and many of you received a lot of it, what have you done with it? Praise God for the shiners. Praise God for those that are out doing something with what the Lord gave them. They're not quiet. Shine or whine. Shine or whine. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath the 10 talents. The Lord rewarded this fellow who brought forth the most. Take what you had and you're going to give it to him. You know what? This applies in this life, but it'll apply at the judgment seat also. The position that you would have had in the judgment seat of Christ, in the coming kingdom is given to another. It's given to another. And then here's the point. Here is the guiding principle that I'm sharing with you today. Unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And to have in this context doesn't mean to give back exactly what God gave to you. It means to make a return on it. That's what it means. It means to take your time, your money, your truth, your understanding, all that God has given you, and make a return on it for God. Hold forth in all the ways that we've seen. Rebuke, do what you need to do. Warn the wicked, encourage, do everything you're called to do to be a witness, and shine or whine, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Shine or whine. Shine forth or whine. That's what the Bible's saying. That's what the Bible's saying. God help us. The principle also operates in this life, as we said, but it continues on to the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of times you have a believer. They have light. They have opportunity. And they say, like Esau, what is this? I don't care. Raising a homeschool family. Somehow or another ended up in a fundamental church that preaches the truth. Understands the gospel without perverting it, has the reward, has the commandments of God. We're all growing, church is growing, but the point is, you had wonderful opportunity and light. But you could be as Esau. You could be profane, you know. You just, I don't really care about anything religious or spiritual. I want to play a joke. I want to talk about something. I want to talk about basketball. I want to talk about this. I want to do this. You know, you see my new tennis shoe? In other words, you have a world of believers that is profane. There's no sobriety. There's no spiritual aspect to them. There's no seriousness at all. God wants you to have fun, enjoy one another in wholesome, godly ways. But some can just go through life with just their mouth open and nothing coming out. It's just, you just raise a generation of fools. You think, what do you got to do to end up? And Esau just doesn't care about anything, but what am I going to eat? Let me find a good Gentile, heathen Canaanite girl. As you respond to light, you get more light. And God's going to judge everything that you've done and everything you've been given. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Your works will follow you. You might not want them to. You might wake up at the judgment seat of Christ and all of a sudden your works show up and you say, go back, go back. What are you doing here? They're like, no, I'm sitting here. I got to be right here with you. But no, I don't want you there. God, leave. You need to leave. Nope, nope. Everything you didn't confess and get straight is going to be here at the judgment seat of Christ. I got to stand right here beside you. And believe me, it's not your works that'll get judged. You will get judged. So don't let anybody lie to you about that. Yeah, my works are going to get big whipping at judgment seat of Christ. No, it's not your works. It's you. It's you. Never heard anything so stupid in all my life. Hey, just as in the midst of the life that you're living right now, faithfulness to light and opportunity create more light and opportunity. So it's going to be at the great reckoning. All that you've done now, if you're deemed faithful, you will have greater opportunity in the millennial kingdom. It says in Matthew 5, our Lord Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, one of the least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. When heaven's kingdom comes down upon this earth, remember John the Baptist? The Lord said about John the Baptist, was his ministry of heaven or was it of men? Of heaven means heaven established it. By heaven's authority, there's a kingdom upon this earth that's going to come of heaven, heaven's authority. Heaven is the throne of God, the place of the throne of God. It's going to be the Lord's kingdom. And think about this. The least of one commandment will affect your position in the coming kingdom. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the whole package, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so God's watching everything I do. He's watching every commandment I stand up for and obey and tell others about. And he's watching everything I say. You don't got to do that. Oh, don't. Did that church tell you you need to do it? You don't have to do that. Boy, you better hope you're right. You better hope you're right or it'll affect you. But he goes on and says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you better be better than that crowd. And remember, they kept the little ones, but they broke the big ones. You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you start fornicating, being a drunkard, being an adulterer, doing all that type of stuff. You're not even going to enter the coming kingdom. You're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're not eternally secure. It means for the 1,000 years, you don't enter. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Unless you believe in Romanism, work salvation, then obviously this is talking about your reward in the coming inheritance, not the eternal inheritance, the 1,000-year temporal inheritance. I don't know what's wrong with people sometimes. Doesn't Paul give you a list of things that you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Hey, the Pharisees were committing some of these. They're making sure they were very diligent in tithing. And that's important, he says. The little things are important. And that's a pretty big thing sometimes. You leave everybody else to support and you don't do your part. But listen to me. There are big things that will exclude you from the kingdom. And Paul gives you a list of them. I don't want you to think that your time and your money, that you just got to go out and be a verbal witness and there's nothing else you have to do with what the Lord's given into your hand. And that's not true. The Lord makes this clear in Luke 16. He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So there's a literal aspect to this as well as a figurative aspect. And the point is this, everything God has given you, all your time, all your money, all your resources, every gift, every spiritual gift, every natural gift, every opportunity, everything the Lord has entrusted unto you, he wants back with interest. Do something with it. Do something with it. What keeps you from doing, getting an increase? What keeps you from holding forth and shining forth? Well, we know that laziness, fear of man, we covered that last week. But notice these. He says in Mark, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They're holding it, even with joy. But they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That means they stumble and they say bye-bye to the truth. They leave church and they no longer stand for God's standards anymore. I've seen them over the years. And I think, what happened to that brother? And sometimes you check behind the scenes. His mama got mad at him. Maybe somebody else that he respected. Maybe he started getting persecution from his family. And he split. And the strange thing that happens is, whatever truth he had, you think he just would still hold on to the truth. But no, boom, it evaporates. Like, how could somebody know the things he knew or she knew and it disappear? Well, you know now. God says you either stand and hold forth what I give you, but if you despise it and trash it, God, even if you're trying to hold on to it and clutch it, God will blow it out of your hand. God will take it away from you. So these people that don't hold forth, what happens is they begin to lose. They begin to lose, and you start seeing their standards disappear. You're like, wow, that person don't even look like the same person anymore. And that's just the outward things you could see. You ought to see what's in their life, the habits, and the things begin to change. And of course, everybody doesn't decay at the same degree or in the same places. But I'm going to tell you, you stand for God's light, you stand for God's truth, or He'll take away the truth from you. He'll take away the truth from you. He'll scramble your brain. He'll mess your mind up. And the Bible says He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. The Bible says it. You better believe it. These people fell because they had affliction or persecution. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in and choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. There's some are like, man, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. I just got too many lustful cares. And after I play golf and do this and do that and do this, and after I buy me my whatchacallit, dually whip or whatever it is, after I do this and after I do that and after I do this. And you know what? You have a right to your cares. You have a right to the things God's put in your hand. You have a right to take care of your business, but you also ought to look on other people's business, and you certainly also better look on the church's business, and you also better look upon what God wants you to do and has given you the opportunity to do, because pretty soon He blows the whistle, He blows the trumpet, and it's up. It's over. Whatever you have done, it's not even what you have in your hand. It's what you have used. It's what you've brought forth profit with. And it's time to be judged. You're like, God, if you let me go back down there, I'll take that money and I'll do something good with it. It's too late. I'll take that time. God, you just let me go down there a few more minutes. Too late. I won't be silent anymore. It's too late. That's why there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, see. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And He said unto them, is a candle, look at this, right after this next verse. And He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Use the ears God gave you. He's saying you are responsible for the truth you hear, for the money put in your hand, for the time given to you, for your opportunities. You're responsible for all of it. God didn't want it back. People say, well, I just gave it to God. Well, that's true if you understand what you mean. He wants a return. He wants interest. He's given you so many illustrations. He's given you the lepers. He's given you the businessman. He's given you so many pictures to try to understand. The candlestick, the church set on a hill, or the city set on a hill. He said unto him, he's going to keep on going, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. You're not doing, if you're not using your opportunity, God will put somebody else there. If you're not using wisely, it is a privilege according to God to serve. It is a privilege according to God to be in the battle. And if you don't stand up, it's like Mordecai told Esther, hey, deliverance will come from somebody else. Got to put somebody else in your place. Don't you think you were put right here, Esther? Don't you think God put you here for no reason at all? Now He said, judgment will come upon you, and God will get somebody else to deliver us. Boy, that's faith. That's faith. Another illustration, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in honey. Boy, you found truth. You found. Some people rejoice at the finding. Some people cry. I've had people cry and say, this treasure that I now see. And they were sincere. the Word of God. I see it. I see His commandments. I see it all. And praise God, He showed me these things.
Amen, brother. Go roast them. Go roast it. Use it. What does that mean? It means use it. It means use it. Don't get out of here and get the carcass and bring it in, got the deer, and let it sit on your front porch and draw flies and worms. That's what some people have done with the truth they've been given. They've grown up in a homeschool, fundamental church, and they got all this game around them. I'm not talking about video games. That's probably the big problem right there. I'm talking about wild game. They have it here. They've hunted. It's been, many cases, given right to them, dropped in their lap. They just let it sit there and rot. Just let it sit and rot. Folks, God didn't put you in this church. God didn't give you a homeschool mother and father. God didn't do that so you could sit on your behind and be curious about the world like Dinah and be like Demas and love this present world. Why are you wasting it? I heard the other day, kind of a joke people were sending around. They said, you might have seen it. They said that we don't throw away food in our home. We put it in Tupperware in the refrigerator and let it rot in the refrigerator. You know, some Christians are like that, aren't they? They said, oh, no, this is precious. This is precious. I'm going to take it home. I'm going to take it home. I'm going to let it rot in my house. But you still don't do anything with it. Bible says, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eye? Do something with what God's put in your hand. Use it. Invest everything. Your truth, your time, your finances. Hey, you're not going to stand before my judgment. I know you know that. If your excuses stand, praise God. Prove it before God, because you'll stand before Him. David ate the showbread. There's emergency situations where you can't serve for the moment. But then again, you have David's man slain for steadying the ark in an emergency. What the Bible's telling you is you better be careful with your emergencies for why you can't do something, for why you can't show up. He invited a lot of people to the great supper, remember, to the great marriage of his son. There's excuses that we make. And you're not going to have to deal with the pastor at the judgment seat of Christ. You deal with God. If your excuse stands, prove it and praise God. I'm for you, brother. I'm for you, sister. But you better make sure your excuse is right in the Lord's estimation. You know what? Some are spent. I mean, they are spent. They have served so much, given so much. And some have served. They have shined. They have given above measure even. Paul says some make up for others. Some have given of their lives, given of their time, given of their finances. Some have given so much they make up for others, as Paul said. My goal is to encourage you to stay in the battle. My goal is to encourage you to look at every single thing God has put in your hand, put in your heart, put in your mind. What are you doing? What are you doing with it? What are you doing? And remember, little is much if God is in it. Little is much if God is in it. Don't get discouraged. But I want you to invest, not just for old age, but for what comes after that, my friend. 1 Timothy 6 says, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Use everything. So I want to press you. You have a certain time to use every single thing in your heart and hand. And I'm not talking just about the judgment seat of Christ. I'm saying even before the judgment seat of Christ comes, God puts it in your hand. And you say, look what I got. It's shiny. It's wonderful. And all of a sudden you look at it and it's gone. You say, what happened? Others look at you and they said, man, that's not, you don't have the truth anymore. You don't have standards anymore. What happened? They said, well, sure I did. No, you drifted. You drifted far. All that stuff that used to be in your hand, that light you used to have, it's not there anymore. You said, well, sure it is. No, you're not even aware. You don't have it anymore. You know why you don't have it anymore? Because you can only hold it so long without holding it forth. You can only hold it so long without shining it, and it disappears. And all of a sudden the whistle blows. And God says, well, how many things did you use? How much did you use that I gave you? You said, I had a lot. I went through the whole store grabbing everything I could. But why did it all disappear? Well, it disappeared because you never used it. It only stays there a little while. You use it or lose it. You shine it or it's gone. It's gone. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. I want you to grab as much truth as you can, as much ability, as much opportunity. But you better grab it and not sit on it. You better not hide it or it will be gone. It'll be given to somebody else. Your place will be given to somebody else. You ask Judas about that. Every single thing will be given to somebody else. You use it or lose it. God's not going to beg you. He'll raise a preacher up to plead with you, but he's not going to continue to beg. He's not going to continue to plead. He knocks, puts things in your hand, you fall down upon your face and say, thank you, God. But you better get up and say, God's given me an opportunity. He didn't give Esther the queenship. He didn't give her royalty for no reason. When God gives you something, it's to be used for Him and invested. Please remember that. Please remember, let me give you one more warning that God gave you in regard to manna, okay? A manna is a picture of His truth. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms. How can the manna, a picture of God's truth, it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. What did they do? They didn't use it. They didn't gather it. They just let it sit there unused. I wonder what's in your Bible that's just sitting there unused. I wonder what I've preached in this church and repeated over and over and over that hasn't been used. I wonder what you know and believe that you've never done anything with, that you could have done. God will never judge you for something you could not have done. That widow had one little mite. And the Lord said she did everything she could, see. She's put in more than the other folks. Whatever God gives you, use it. He just wants you to use it, invest it. Some believers have left the bread of life to just sit there unused in their hearts, wasted their opportunity. They spent the money chasing every whim and whistle and selfish endeavor. And what has been neglected? What will it translate into in the moment of translation? The meat that is not roasted will rot. The manna that is not gathered up and used will breed worms and stink. You shouldn't press pictures too far, but I believe this is what God's saying. When you don't use truth that God gave you, when you don't love it, appreciate it, hold it, and hold it forth and use it for good, you will begin to despise it and it'll stink in your sight. Hey, listen to me, my friend. The truth that you hold right now and believe and love, you either hold it forth or soon and very soon, that same truth will stink in your sight. And the people that you love and the things you see, it'll stink in your sight. There have been people that have sat before the truth, that have loved the truth, have understood the truth, and they did not use the truth. They took it for granted. They let it just sit there. And I'm going to tell you, before you know it, it began to stink in their eyes. And they hate it. They hate it. God, help us. I'm going to tell you, there are a few people who hate truth and holy standards more than those who used to love, know, and embrace them. It's the truth. They now hate what they used to love. They used to work to preserve marriages. Now they work to divide asunder. They used to work to bring people out of the mire and mud and sludge. Now they work as missionaries for Satan, disguised as ministers of righteousness, to take all who have come out of the filth to bring them quickly back in the filth. Rottenness. Rottenness. Use it or it rots. Stick it in your refrigerator, don't eat it, and it will rot. No matter how much money you pay for it, sit there and buy it and just stick it in the fridge or stick it in the fruit bowl and let it just sit there and it rots. So does your truth. So does your truth.
For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. They got these people that say, whoa, I'm finally out of the mud hole, the pig pen, finally out. They say, come here, man. You can look at the wine. It's okay. You don't have to be chaperoned. You could do all kinds of things. You don't have to be careful that you make not provision for the flesh. It's okay. Oh, what a trick. Next thing you know, they're overcome with sin, with drunkenness, with fornication, with evil, because some liar, as a missionary for Satan, can't wait for them to come out of the mud hole and look clean so he can bring them right back in the mud hole. Who are these people? A lot of them used to love the truth. A lot of them used to stand for holiness. They don't anymore. You better use it or you will lose it. The manna begins to stink to you, but there's more. Since these people once walked in the light, they now cause the truth to stink in the eyes of others who judge the truth by these backsliders. It had been better for them to not know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them. According to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Hebrews says it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's the kingdom. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame. You say, who's fallen away? It doesn't mean every single backslider can ever be restored, but it does mean some people have sinned away their repentance. You don't know who they are, but God knows. One of the worst things, you say, well, I'm not dead yet. Oh, are you? You just might be. See, you're dead to holiness. You're dead to the standards you used to believe. You're dead to the truth that you used to know. You're just a walking dead person. You say, how did you get this way? Well, one of the biggest fears is God to say, you know what? You don't like my truth. You're not going to use it. You're just going to let it sit there. You're not going to do anything with it. I'll take it away. And he blows out the candle. And you can get on Facebook. You can play around. You can do this. You can do that. Go to the mall. Do all kinds of things. But you're not there anymore. At least not when it comes to light. A believer walking in the truth will see you and say, I don't even recognize you. You don't sound the same. You don't believe the same. What happened? Oh, be careful. Be careful. They will bite. Be careful. They will do the devil's work now. They will do the devil's work. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Teach the young wives to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. These people backslide. It causes the truth to stink. Please use the manna. Please use it. Please hold it forth. Please gather it. Don't let it rot. Don't let it stink. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that was on day one, has shined in our hearts. So your salvation is a picture of day one, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, this light, in earthen vessels. That's your body. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body this vessel, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. It says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. It says in Judges that the three companies blew the trumpets. Praise God for that. We talked about that last week. They break the pitchers. What was inside the pitcher? What's inside of your body, my friend? What's inside of you? The light of Christ, the light of the gospel. And they held the lamps there with the broken pitchers.
and with their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. The picture is this, my friend. Let God break you. Let God break you so you will shine that light. Be broken to your pride that gets in the way. Be broken to your selfish fear. You know what's in the way of you shining? You are. You know what's in the way? Your love of this world. You know what's in the way? Your pride, your self-love, and your love of this world. I tell you, get out here and start soul winning, and people mock you and they call you names. And after a while, you know, it humbles you. It really does. You're like, buddy, I used to be almost worshipped as a guitar player. And sometimes it was worship. And I'm going to tell you, now you got to get out here on the street. They don't worship you no more. I tell you what, you get out on the street, they will mock you. They will scorn you. But you know what? It's nothing. It's no big deal because it's for the Lord Jesus. Amen. You get out here and you stand for God. You stand for the truth. Get yourself out of the way and start shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Dear Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you help us to shine as the stars. You help us, God, to hold forth the truth. Please don't take it away, God. Please, Father, be merciful. Be merciful for what we do with our money. Be merciful with our time, God. But we know, Lord, that your judgment is going to stand. And you've given us these warnings for a reason, Lord. There's people that you want us to reach. There's people you want us to speak to. There's people you want us to rebuke, Father. There's people you want us to edify and encourage. And you told us in Ephesians that every joint supplieth to the body, to the edifying of itself, God. Right here in this church and outside this church, Lord, we know that every one of us has a responsibility to shine your light, to speak to the enemies in the gate, to defend and contend. And Father, help us. Help us know that we better use it or you'll put somebody else in our place. We better get busy and shine with everything you've given us or you'll raise up somebody else, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you have mercy upon us, that we will be found faithful at your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen.